Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we're with you in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm Sean Carey. We're going to guide you through Best of Week. Host of this show, deserving vacation this week. Steve and the fam will be kicking back, and that'll give us a chance to hit the rewind button, and we'll replay some of the top interviews we've had on the show the past couple of months. And the big story from back in the spring was sports betting, and that's going to become commonplace across the country. Now, it may take several years, and should happen later this year here in the state of Pennsylvania, already happening south of here in Maryland, and coming soon to Jersey. So most of the show today, we're going to dial into sports betting. You'll hear Steve's interviews with Dustin Gawker from Online Poker Report and also a sports betting writer for LegalSportsReport.com. We'll replay the interview with Dustin at 3:35. And also, the week when the sports betting vote from the Supreme Court became official, we had a chance to talk to Neil Best, terrific sports writer from New York, the New York Post. So Neil will be on at 4:06, and longtime friend of Steve's, the legendary godfather of Pittsburgh sports talk radio and TV, Stan Saverin from ESPN Pittsburgh and AT&T Sportsnet. We'll check in with that interview with Stan, talk about some Penguins and Pirates to wrap up today's show, which is brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Make sure you have the right coverage for when life happens. You know, you keep saying, oh, I'm planning on doing this, I'm planning on doing that. Well, sometimes life can get in the way, can throw you a curveball sometimes. So you want to make sure you're covered when that happens. And the people at Purdy, they go to bat for you like it happened to them. They'll customize a policy to fit your needs and your budget, and they work with the brands that you know and trust. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and go to purdyinsurance.com. Don't forget our Steve Jones Show podcast. Subscribe, and when you do, all the live shows that you hear on WKOK will drop to your smartphone and tablet for free. Just search Steve Jones Show either on the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, or Google Play. So, it was the big deal just a few short months ago. The big vote that's going to transcend and change how we watch and digest sports betting.
Well, this is the groundbreaking day we've been talking about for years on this show. Ever since the bill came up in 2012, we've talked about the possibility of sportsbook throughout the country. And even though New Jersey has lost at every stage, the gut feeling was they weren't going to lose at this stage, and they didn't. Most of it was approved 7-2 by the Supreme Court. Part of it was 6-3. Stephen Breyer approved of some and didn't approve of other parts. But in the end, it was Justice Samuel Alito. He wrote the majority opinion. Clarence Thomas wrote the supporting opinion. Joining them were Anthony Kennedy, Neil Gorsuch, John Roberts, Elena Kagan, and for parts of it, Stephen Breyer. And then the dissenting opinion was written by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, joined by Sonia Sotomayor, and parts of it by Stephen Breyer. What they did today was, right, they did not legalize gambling in the country today. That's not what they did. So you can't run out tonight and say, hey, I want to put 25 on the Warriors-Rockets game. You can't do that unless you're doing it through Las Vegas Sportsbook or doing it illegally with some offshore account. Did I just hear the suit slam his fist on the desk, man?
Some other kind of noise.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. What they did do was this was a states' rights deal and the 10th Amendment. And they sided with the state of New Jersey and said it violated their 10th Amendment rights. So what this did do was it opened the door for each state now to determine whether or not they want to legalize gambling. That's what they did today. They allowed each state to make up their own mind on it. I would guess and venture to say that within 5 years, two-thirds of the states in this country will have sportsbook. And again, it'll go back to the basic reason for all of these moves. And that is, the states want the money. No offense, it's no more noble than that. As I pointed out before, hey, Colorado, Washington, boy, they're really progressives. They want the tax money. Come on. Man, there are times where you become cynical about such things, and to legislatures and how they handle budgets, they have allowed the populace to become very, very cynical. So that would be the key, that they want to get money out of this. And they should be able to get money out of it. They're going to be the ones running it. They're going to be the ones regulating it, so the state should get a cut. It's going to be their baby. So where does this stand? New Jersey is in an interesting spot. New Jersey already has most of this in place. Monmouth Park, the racetrack by the coast, already has a sports book area ready to go. It's been closed down. They haven't been using it. But they think that in 2 to 3 weeks, you'll be able to go there and place bets. Probably the same with Atlantic City. So by the time the NBA Finals roll around, if you live in New Jersey or you can physically go into a racetrack or a casino in Atlantic City, you probably will be able to bet on the NBA Finals. Other states are also ahead of the curve. There are three others that are absolutely ahead of the curve. West Virginia is one. They think they can have sportsbook rolling in West Virginia and probably be run through the state lottery office within 90 days. Delaware, same thing, ahead of the curve. And guess what other state is way ahead of the curve on this? Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is way ahead of the curve on this. Now, how long this takes and what the process is, I don't know, but I wouldn't doubt that this will be something that Mark, I think, can explore with some of our state legislators around the area when he has them on the mark, because this is a significant, sure, it's a sports gambling bill, but Mark, of course, is going to deal with it from the point of view of, how is this going to work for more money for the coffers of the state to pay the bills. But each state has to come up with their own regulations, how it's going to operate, where it's going to operate, what kind of fees are involved. So there's a lot going on to make it happen. But Pennsylvania is ahead of many, many other states. New York wants to look into it now. Connecticut definitely wants to look into it. Connecticut is flat broke. And, Connecticut is so broke, that they freely admit there's an area of Connecticut down in the Panhandle area near New York Greenwich, Darien, Westport, where the stockbrokers all live. Okay? And they freely admit they cannot tax the rich any more than they have. They freely admit they can't do it anymore. And they don't know ways to do it. Well, this now opens the door for them. To get more money into the state of Connecticut coffers. Connecticut, Illinois, they desperately need it. And that's what this comes down to. This comes down to the ability to get money for the states. And they're going to be able to do it through sportsbook. Now, how lucrative it is, I don't know. We'll find out. But already $150 billion is wagered illegally in this country. How do the sports leagues benefit from this? This is where national regulation probably comes into play. They can make their own deals, I think, with the states. They certainly can do that. They certainly can make their own arrangements with states. But, and we've heard about the 1% that's been floated by Adam Silver. And it sounds like Major League Baseball has been joining the NBA arm in arm when talking with legislatures. And they've talked to a number of them, between a half dozen and a dozen state legislatures they have talked to. And that's where the leagues, they'll want a cut of this. They will want a cut. And that is the bottom line. The 1% idea is the Australian model, where if you get 1% of every dollar wagered on your particular sport, you get. Now, what does the NCAA do? Does the NCAA stay out of it? Or do they too go in with the idea? And I'm just using the 1% as, look, Adam Silver floated it, so I'll just keep using that number until I hear a different number, okay? We'll do that. Just seems easier. And when you look at, I mean, what do they do? Do they take 1% of every wager on a football game? I mean, do they do that? And then distribute the money equally among the 129 Division I football programs? I mean, do they do that? Do they take 1% wagered on every basketball game and then equally distribute the money among 351 basketball programs? I don't know. It's something that they have to look into. That I have no answer for as to how the NCAA would handle it. Do they stay out of it completely, or they get involved, and do they get involved with the idea of monetary distribution?
Yeah, the words that we're going to hear several weeks, several months down the road, federal framework, you're going to hear that a lot, just to make sure that there is a... And according to, from a quote from the NBA and their commissioner, you know, just something that would provide not only consistency from state to state, but from sport to sport.
Right.
But it's just interesting hearing and catching the comments from the NBA, the NHL. It just seems like the statement with the least amount of words came from the NCAA, and in a way that really didn't surprise me at all.
Right.
It just seems like, okay, which one has already started getting their ducks lined up in a row? Which one really knew when this was going to happen? and which ones really were kind of turning the other way, thinking, ah, when is that going to happen? That's not going to happen.
Right, I don't, yeah. That I can't tell you. I don't know. But the leagues want their cut, okay? It's pure and simple as that. They want their cut. And then what do? Then what do?
But you're right, though. Bringing in the NCAA side of things, you're right. Do you talk about all 129 NCAA top-level college football programs, or do you focus more on just the Power 5 conferences and just how that money would be divvied out? I mean, there's definitely, at this point, more questions than answers.
Right. There's many more questions for them, because for a league, it's completely different. There are 31 NHL teams, 30 in Major League Baseball, 30 in the NBA, and there are 32 NFL teams. Here, you're a professional sports organization, or even MLS, for example. You're a professional sports organization. You take the money and you divide it up 30 ways, 32 ways, 31 ways, whatever the number of teams happens to be. That's how it works. So, and for the NCAA, it's a different ballgame. I mean, do you equal distribute? That's why I mentioned the 129 and the 351, or 129 Division I football games. All right. Now, I mean, I don't know if you. I mean, can you bet on Villanova and Richmond as a regular season game? I don't know. I can't answer that. So that part I don't know.
Maybe not Villanova basketball, but possibility of West Virginia basketball within the state of West Virginia. It sounds like that could be a possibility even before football season.
Well, 90 days away, West Virginia is going to do this.
Wow.
I mean, West Virginia is locked in. They say they can get going in 90 days, maybe even less. And I believe it's being administered, at least initially, through the state lottery office. But believe me, Pennsylvania is way ahead of the curve, way ahead of other people. But my guess is that within 5 years, two-thirds of the states will have a sports book. There's some places, for example, where you think it would be automatic, and it's not. And that would be, I'll give you one, Florida. A lot of people are like, Florida will definitely. Florida's like, we don't know what to do. Florida might not do it. I mean, my guess is California will do it.
I would think if there's a cluster of states that would be last to jump on board, would probably be the Bible Belt states down south.
No, Mississippi's supposedly way ahead here. How about that?
You know, there are some resorts and casinos down that way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Biloxi already has it. Absolutely, Biloxi already has it. So I don't know. It's very interesting. Very interesting how this is going to play out. Very interesting how it's going to play out. And I think that when you look at, you know, some people are wondering, well, what's this going to do to, for example, what's this going to do to the possibility of games being fixed? what, you can't fix games now with the illegal offshore betting? Right? Right? I mean, what prevents you from doing that? I mean, what prevents you from doing that now? Nothing prevents you from doing that now. Nothing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Bottom of the hour. News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve enjoying vacation this week. Sean Carey here. We've got a best of week on WKOK. And today we're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The policy, the price, the coverage that you want and you need. So you need to visit the Purdy's, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. All right, even though the Phillies lost 2 out of 3 down in Miami, they are still 10 games plus over 500. And yes, back in February when spring training began down in Florida, if someone came up to you, Philly fan, and said, hey, this is where the Phillies are going to be in first place in their division, 10-plus games over 500, would you take that? You bet you would, every day twice on Sunday. So the Phillies are off until Friday, and they'll be back in action against San Diego at Citizens Bank Park, Friday night, 6:30 here on WKOK. So today, Monday, July 16th, this day in sports history, Florence Griffith Joyner, FloJo, set the women's world record in the 100 meters on this date, the United States Olympic Track and Field Trials. And also, she made a fashion statement back in the day, in 1988. It was a two-legged bodysuit with those defined muscles. 2001, Jacques Rogge of Belgium succeeded Juan Antonio Samaranch of Spain, who'd served for 21 years as president of the International Olympic Committee. Also this day, 1950, some 174,000 people, probably the most ever to attend a sporting event at that time, gathered in Rio de Janeiro to watch Uruguay in only its second World Cup appearance, upset Brazil 2-1 in the final. It was the first cup action in 12 years because of World War II. And on this day in 1947, Rocky Graziano knocked out world middleweight champion Tony Zale in the sixth round of their title fight in Chicago Stadium. Zale had knocked out Graziano the year before for the title and kept the upper hand in their famous rivalry by doing it again in 1948. And that's a look at this day in sports history. So we talked about the Phillies a couple of seconds ago. Back in action on Friday night. after the All-Star break. It's going to be Washington Nationals ace Max Scherzer. He's going to start for the NL tomorrow night on his home field. And Boston Red Sox ace Chris Sale will start his third consecutive game for the American League. Scherzer leads the National League with 182 strikeouts. He's tied for the league lead in wins with 12. Also with 12 are John Lester of the Chicago Cubs and the Phillies' Aaron Nola. Scherzer is also third in the league with a 2.41 ERA. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, he's going to manage the National League. He says that Scherzer's start is well-deserved. It's his city. It's his ballpark. Scherzer started last year's All-Star game in Miami and also was the starter in 2013 at Citi Field as a member of the Tigers. Chris Sale will become only the third pitcher to start in the All-Star game in three consecutive years, joining Lefty Gomez, 1933-34-35. And former Philly Robin Roberts, 1953-54-55. Scherzer's teammate outfielder Bryce Harper will bat sixth for the National League, Harper hitting .214, the .365 on-base percentage, .468 slugging percentage, 23 home runs, 54 RBIs. And despite his hitting struggles, Harper is an all-star voted in by fans for the sixth time in his seven-year Major League career. Tonight you've got the Home Run Derby. Rhys Hoskins of the Phillies will be taking part in that tonight down in D.C. So we talked about sports betting in the first segment of the show from back in May, the day when the story broke, and that's going to be the heavy topic throughout the duration of today's show. And it was about a day or so after that the story broke, we had a chance to talk with sports betting writer and online gambling writer for OnlinePokerReport.com and LegalSportsReport.com, Dustin Gaucher.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, I want to start with this. The leagues obviously want to make a profit out of this. That's why they would eventually go along with it. My question to you is, what's their leverage? What opens the door for them to get a cut of this? What would their leverage be?
In states that have franchises, they obviously have some lobbying power already. So I don't know if that's leverage necessarily, but it gives them a relationship with the state and lawmakers already. So, but as far as giving them a direct cut of wagers or revenue, I don't know if there's something that they're giving in return. They're basically arguing, hey, these are our games. You're using them to bet on them, so you should give us some money. So I'll leave that up to your listeners to how great of an argument that is. But that's the argument that they're using.
Yet it's already being allowed to be used in Nevada, for example. It's being allowed to be used overseas, and they're not getting a cut of that, correct?
Right. That's the way it's been so far. I mean, the whole point is they'd like to change that, and they'd like to do that through new laws that say, hey, if you're running sports betting operations, you have to pay us. So they've tried to do this with fantasy sports, actually, a couple cases dating back a decade where they wanted to be paid for that data by anybody who runs a fantasy sports platform, and they have lost in court on that case. So, that's their argument. They want their games, they spend money on them, and they say the state should pay them, or actually the casinos that run the sports books should pay them. And I don't find that to be a very likely scenario, but that's what they're arguing.
Oregon has been one of the four states that was grandfathered in the 1992 law. How have they handled it over the years? What version have they had, and what might we see now in the state you live in?
So what happened was we used to have a lottery game called Sports Action. It was basically a parlay game based on NFL games where you'd pick three winners, and if you won, you got a payout. So they actually struck a deal with the NCAA about a decade ago to discontinue that, because the NCAA really hates gambling of any type. So they said, as long as you have this, we aren't going to have tournament games. So in return, they said, we'll stop this game. We'll start having tournament games in Portland. So that's where we are now. I've talked to the lottery here. They're interested in getting into single game wagering after yesterday's decision. So I think we'll see that eventually here and indeed in a lot of states as we move forward.
Yeah, no surprise it was going to happen in a lot of states. Now, how, explain to everybody, I've talked about New Jersey taking a 17.5% cut under their bill. Pennsylvania is 36%. Because the states would be running it, this is their ball game as to how they want to regulate it, correct?
Yeah, right now it's the Supreme Court decision basically lets it up to states. It struck down the federal ban, and states can now do with it what they want. And we're seeing a wide variety of approaches. Like you said, Pennsylvania has an effective tax rate that's really high, pretty much higher than any jurisdiction with legal sports betting in the country. It'll make it pretty hard for sports books to operate in the black. So I'd imagine that eventually we'll see Pennsylvania revisit that. But yeah, we're seeing in a lot of states. West Virginia recently passed the law. We're seeing Mississippi pass the law last year. That's going to take effect probably in the summer sometime. So, yeah, right now, lots of varying approaches, lots of tax rates, and a lot of questions about how things are going to roll out moving forward.
How close do you think certain states will watch the next 6 months? In other words, how does Pennsylvania operate? What's going on with New Jersey? So that they can get a gauge as to what they want to do with this law.
Oh yeah, I mean, we have lots of different laws on the bill already. So we're gonna other states that haven't acted this year and are looking to act when the legislatures come back in 2019 after the election. They're definitely gonna look at that. They'll look at Nevada and they'll look at Europe. There's gonna be a lot of different models that they can pull from and try to get to the right answer. And you also have the leagues trying to be involved. They've written language that they'd like to see in bills. So I think you're gonna see an amalgamation of kind of everything we've seen work in different markets. Or at least I hope so. I hope states come up with good policy that comes that you know protects integrity, protects consumers, and is just a good product that people want to use and compete with the offshore sports books that exist now.
All right. Well, let's go on that path for a moment. In your opinion, just based on your experience, your expertise, what are some of the rules and regulations that you think it would be wise for states to have so that they are giving the consumer the best product, but also protecting the integrity?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one is what I just alluded to is the black market. You know, it's really easy for you and I right now to go bet on a number of black market offshore sports books that operate in, you know, Caribbean nations or Costa Rica or what have you. So to really compete, to let the legal books compete, you need to do things that let them compete because they're not paying taxes. They're not under any kind of real regulation. So you need to create a barrier to entry that allows these legal books that are going to pop up in the U.S. to compete with them. So that includes not giving that integrity fee that we talked to the league about to the leagues right off the top. That's a lot of money that's not going to be spent by the books then. And then keep the tax rates low. The Pennsylvania rate, like I said, really high. It's not the tax rate that offshore books aren't paying. And you want to keep those tax rates low, I think, if you want books to compete with the offshore books.
What do you think? This is probably just a guess, but how much money can it mean for a state? I mean, it's in your opinion. I mean, it depends on the size of the state and so forth. But approximately, how much of a windfall can this be for states where essentially it's some money falling out of the sky?
Yeah, it depends on a lot of variables, like you said. I mean, bigger states, obviously, bigger populations, more potential bettors, and more potential tax revenue. And then that tax rate plays into it too. If it's taxed too high, then you're not gonna convert people over to the legal sports book. So, we're talking tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue in a mature market for big states. You know, possibly more than that in Pennsylvania in a mature market where they lower the tax rate a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's in some states it's definitely enough to move the needle. You know, Pennsylvania just passed this big gaming expansion, and sports betting is part of that. I think they're anticipating seeing some real revenue once they actually get it up and running.
What about California? What do you know about that?
Yeah, obviously it would be a huge state if sports betting would happen there. Unfortunately, they have a lot of different stakeholders there. It's a complicated situation for any kind of gaming. They have tribal casinos who are very powerful and are not quite ready to do sports betting yet. They have card rooms where there's just huge poker and poker games and table games and such like that. And then they have racetracks. And all three of these kind of entities have been battling for a while now over other gaming issues. And until they kind of come to a peace on anything, it's going to be hard to get sports betting through. So I don't think we're going to see that, certainly not this year. Maybe in a couple years when they get everything settled there, it's possible. But right now, I don't think there's a whole lot of hope for a state like California.
Right, because if there's any state that could use a jolt financially,
right,
it would be California.
Yeah, I mean, there's other states like that, too. I mean, there's lots of states in the
Connecticut's
Midwest.
In bad shape, believe me.
Oh, yeah, Connecticut's one of them. They're, and they're, I started governors say they're considering a special session to look at sports betting. They've already been thinking about it. So, yeah, any state that's looking for, you know, wants to generate some revenue without creating, you know, new taxes on existing businesses and consumers and taxpayers, it's at least it may not be all of it, but it's, you know, it's a piece of a puzzle that that states could use.
What about Florida?
Florida's another one. You know, any place where there's tribes, it's a little complicated. The Seminole tribe basically runs the casinos in that state. There's tracks. There's it's a complicated issue for them to. I mean, I'd say the Seminoles, who are going to be opening the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. I think they're going to be in sports betting in New Jersey, but in Florida, where they have more control over how gaming goes down, they're not quite ready to kind of open it up, and it's a thorny discussion. But you know, I think these states that we're talking about, eventually they're going to get there. It's just a matter of how long.
We've known about the New Jersey situation for a while, and they've lost at every level. And New Jersey spent millions of dollars to get to this point. But I think most people had in their gut that the U.S. Supreme Court, especially over a states' rights issue, was going to go their way. Are you surprised more states weren't more prepared for this?
I think a lot of states were tentative to act when they didn't have that legal certainty. I mean, I cover this every day. I kind of knew a lot of people thought this was going to be the decision that we'd see. And indeed, a lot of, you know, gaming companies were the same way. I listened to earnings calls where they're like, oh, yes, it's going to get struck down. We're getting ready for it. Lawmakers are a little more tentative to act before they have, like, that legal certainty, I think. So, we've only seen a few states, Pennsylvania being one of them, West Virginia we talked about, and Mississippi. These are states that were kind of ahead of the curve. I think now that this decision's come down, we're going to start seeing more legislative activity. The only problem is a lot of legislatures have already wrapped up for the year, so some of the might get punted till next year.
All right. Now, Nevada obviously has it. So what are the pluses to the Nevada laws, and what is maybe a minus or two of a Nevada law that people should look at in other states?
Well, they have a low effective tax rate. I think it's 6.75% is all gaming is taxed at. So it's easy for you to open a sports book and make a profit at that tax rate if you're only taxing it at less than 7% of revenue. So that's where I'd start. I've been to Vegas several times, and the mobile wagering component is good, and they've rolled that out over years, but they have an in-person sign-up requirement in Nevada law. So you have to actually go to the physical sports book to sign up and get an app and put money on your account and things like that. It's kind of difficult. I mean, there are sports books everywhere, but it's still kind of a pain in the butt to go and use your mobile app. So I'd like to see states, as they move forward, kind of ease those restrictions, make it easier to sign up from home, and you're not going to see the full value of a sports betting market if you are kind of limiting people to going to casinos and tracks and having to like load their money via a physical location. So I think that's what needs to change from Nevada.
We've heard a lot along the way about kiosks possibly being in stadiums and arenas where you can go at halftime and, for example, you and I are standing there and you put $10 down and I put $10 down on whether Le'Veon Bell's going to gain 50 yards in the second half. Is that something we could eventually see, and how can that be regulated?
That's a tough one. I don't know that the leagues have come a long way on sports gambling. I mean, we see the NBA and Major League Baseball lobbying for regulation of sports betting for it to be legal. But I don't know if they're quite ready to have kiosks in arenas. Like, that's a big leap, I think. NBA, maybe. I don't think you're going to see it at baseball parks anytime soon. But, you know, if you go to the UK, any soccer pitch, they have kiosks all around the stadium. So, you know, UK has been doing this a lot longer. I think we'll eventually see that in the United States. And for now, though, you'll have, you know, like we said, mobile wagering. I think most states are looking at mobile wagering and it's going to be legal in Pennsylvania to bet on your phone. So I think we're going to see that. And that's pretty much the same. You can bet on your phone from the comfort of the stadium. You can already do that with the Vegas Golden Knights if you go to see them in the NHL in Las Vegas.
Which brings me back to my original question. Is that potentially the leverage maybe the leagues have to maybe get the integrity fee, is that they would allow that within the confines of their stadium or arena?
It's possible. I mean, they haven't said too much of what they want to give up in terms of this, in exchange for this integrity fee. And my suspicion is they don't want to give up anything. They just kind of want to get it.
So, <That's right. laughs>
so yeah, I mean, if they start doing things that say, hey, we're going to benefit the state if you give us this, then I think we kind of change that dynamic. Those are also things that can kind of happen commercially outside of state laws, I think, with as they work out partnerships with sportsbooks or casinos. And we're going to see that too. Whether we get to those kiosks, I don't know, but I think they want to encourage, the NBA wants to encourage mobile betting, because that's what's going to increase the market for their product, is more engagement, more interest in games, and that comes from, you know, betting mobile and betting on games.
In fact, you've mentioned England, Dustin, at one point. They seem, I've read enough articles the last 24 hours where they'll tell you that, yeah, the people that put £5 to £25 down, that's really where suddenly the market explodes. Is that, would you expect that's going to be one of the keys in this country here?
Yeah, it's going to be converting the casual market, I think, to some extent. You need to, I mean, there's people who aren't willing to bet on those offshore sports books, and they would be willing if they had a legal option that's easy to access. So, yeah, if you get those, you know, the occasional people who just kind of want to bet for fun once in a while, yeah, I think that's a big part of the market. You don't need people, you don't need the sharks who are betting tens of thousands of dollars on games to necessarily make a profit. You need a lot of casual bettors, and then they'll make their 5 to 10%. That's generally what sportsbooks hold is that amount. So, and if they do that and have enough people betting, then it'll be a successful industry here in the U.S.
Dustin, when I asked you about what Oregon is doing, you mentioned the NCAA right away in there. How do you think, not just the NCAA, but conferences themselves, do you sense they're going to sit this out? What's your sense about what the colleges might do?
Yeah, I mean, they can't sit it out, I don't really think. I mean, here's the thing. Colleges and conferences are, I think, kind of already at peace with it. I mean, we have major conference basketball tournaments and a bowl game every year that take place in Las Vegas. That's not a problem. The NCAA, though, has basically banned championship events from any place with legal sports betting. They've never had any kind of NCAA event in Las Vegas or Nevada. They have a de facto ban on New Jersey during this case, where they've pulled any kind of championship level game of any sport out of there. So what they're going to have to do is revisit that policy, because if, you know, Pennsylvania legalizes and New York legalizes sports betting, what, they're not going to have games in New York City and Philadelphia? I mean, that's nonsense. So they're going to have to revisit what they're doing and how they're approaching this, and they're going to. I think they, like the other leagues in this Supreme Court case, kind of thought they were going to win all along, and then it's kind of been a rush to figure out what they're going to do. So they're going to have to change what they're thinking.
Well, they did win at every level until yesterday, so they literally had won at every level. Can you envision a conference, for example, getting an integrity fee like a pro sports league, or do you think that now skirts a line that's tough, especially when there's so much debate about whether to pay college athletes or not?
Yeah, it's a tough debate for them, for sure. I mean, they said they just don't like sports betting all along, so it's a pretty big about face for them to say, oh yeah, we're going to start taking money from this, right? I think that's a tough hill for them to climb, given their historical opposition to sports betting, legal or illegal. So I don't know. I mean, they, before all this came down yesterday, they were in West Virginia. The schools in West Virginia were actually meeting and talking about taking a cut of wagers, and I don't know if that actually had the blessing of the NCAA or not, but like I said, I think the NCAA is going to have to come up with an overarching policy with sports betting. Are they okay with it? How are they going to deal with it? And what they're going to do as far as, whether partnering with the leagues and casinos and states and trying to protect the integrity of the games, because they are more vulnerable than the pro sports, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the only professional entity, besides a couple minor league baseball teams, obviously, in West Virginia is the Greenbrier Classic and the PGA.
Right.
But supposedly their bill sends money to Marshall in West Virginia. I would assume it would be under the guise of what their state appropriation happens to be.
Yeah, if they do it in West Virginia, my sense is that it's going to be some kind of transfer of money to the general operating fund. It's not going to be a direct cut of wagers. I found the whole thing to be a little weird. I don't think.
Yes.
But, you know, down the road, can the NCAA pivot and say, hey, we want this money. We want it to be tied to integrity only. Could they do that? They could make that pivot, but we just haven't heard enough from them on what they're going to do yet.
This is a fascinating conversation, Dustin. Thanks so much for your expertise and really the great ideas you gave everybody. Appreciate it very much.
No problem. Thanks again for having me on.
That was our interview with Dustin Galker of LegalSportsReport.com. We'll keep the sports gambling conversation going next hour. We'll have Steve's conversation with Neil Best from New York Newsday after the news on WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.